It is certainly good to be with you this morning. You will have to excuse me. I've had a head cold all week, and the last couple of days I've done enough coughing. Can you hear me okay? All right. Well, that's good. Last church I pastored, they told me I didn't need a microphone, and all, but it was a small congregation, small building, and also, but this morning, like I said, I've got a pretty good cold, so y'all have to bear with me. Actually, I'm getting over it now. I've had it all week, so I went to the doctor on Wednesday to make sure I didn't have anything that I shouldn't be bringing around to you guys other than the gospel, and all. So, and the doctor assured me that I was good to go, so here we are. It is good to see each one of you out this morning. I do have some family here this morning. I got a couple of sisters that come over from Arkansas. They wanted to make sure I still knew how to call the hogs. And also, so yesterday we got to watch the Razorbacks lose to LSU. But it was good. It's good to have them here. And of course, Brian and Danan and all the group here, Mike and Ether and Margie and Tara and Josh. Good to have y'all here. As somebody was asking me, said, well, you got family here. You're going to have to kind of watch what you say. I said, no, I don't get them here that often, so I'm going to pour it on. And, you know, so, and you can look at that one or two ways and all. So, but it is good to be with you this morning, and I hope to bring a message that we can all use in our daily walk. I've titled it The Power of God, and I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for my text here. And if you realize the power of God, do you really understand what it means, what that term means, the power of God? You know, since I've been in this old world about almost 68 years, I've seen a lot of power. You know, I've seen big old freight trains go down the tracks and all, and they'd pull 2 miles of cars. And I thought, man, how can they do that? And we've got airplanes that can lift up into the sky, weighs tons, lift up into the sky and fly, and carry hundreds of people with them. And then we see then people themselves. I thought my dad was the strongest man on earth, and all. And then but since I've been grown, I've seen a lot of big, strong people. I've watched on TV people would pull the tractor of an 18-wheeler, put his harness on, and actually pull that thing down the road. And I thought, man, don't want to get in a fight with him. But when I studied the Word of God, that's not power at all. You know, there's nothing there that God did not permit. You see, power comes from God. It don't come from you. It don't come from me. It don't come from a church. It comes from God. We can only do what God will allow us to do. But He allows us to do a lot. Now, again, referencing Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus told him, said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. So that tells me there's nothing stronger than God. And whatever, you know, Satan, he wants to be as powerful as God. And sometimes we think he's getting pretty close. But Satan has no power except what God permits and then we as sinners allow. You know, outside of that, he has no power at all. If you don't want Satan doing something, he can't do it. If you forbid Satan to tempt you, or and when he tempts you, you use the Word of God to beat that temptation, Satan can't do anything about it. He can only do what you allow him to do in your life. You see, when I think back to Job, Satan thought he had it all figured out, didn't he? He told God, said, "Well, if you take away that hedge from him, well, he'll curse you to your face." Now, we serve an awesome God, and at God, the God that we serve knows everything, and He knew what Job would do. And so he said, okay, do what you will. But he limited him to what he could do. He said, do what you will, but don't take his life. He forbid Satan to take Job's life. And so he took away his family. He had 10 kids. I think it was 7 sons and 3 daughters. If I'm not mistaken. I know that because I come from a family of 9 siblings, 7 boys and 3 girls. You know. And he took away all of them. They died. They were killed. Took away all of his means of living. Took away his health. Took away everything that he could take away from Job. Even his wife looked at him and said, curse God and die. So he took away, Satan took away from Job about everything he could take. His dignity, his livelihood, his family. And it said through it all, he sinned not. Because he absolutely was not going to allow Satan into his life. You know. And we have the same power from God as children of God today that Job has. It's the same God. There's nothing different between the God that in Job's day and the God today. It is the one and the same. And so if we get to thinking about it, then we see all this power on earth, all this power God give us when He created the heavens and the earth. Where would we get the metals to make automobiles and airplanes and trains if God had not put it here when He created the heavens and the earth? Where would we get the fuel to run them if God had not put it here? You see, God created everything so man would have it all at his disposal to use while he's upon this earth. And God did all of that before He put man on the earth, before He created man. He created everything we'd ever need. And then He put man here. And He was already planning our salvation even before the foundation of the world. Now, so we're going to look for a few moments at the power of God. and what I want to look at is how God's power works for us and how weak we really are compared to God's power. A lot of people think they're pretty awesome. You ever been around somebody just thought they knew everything and they didn't need any help with anything, and especially God? But folks, we need lots of help, you know. And again, if it's convenient for you to do so, I would like you to stand with me as we read our text verses in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, start with me in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Heavenly Father, we come to You again today thanking You for the blessings You've given us. Father, we do ask Your blessings upon Your word this morning, that Your truths will go out and that we would all open our hearts and minds and be receptive unto Your truths. Father, we thank You again for this church. We thank You for each one gathered here this morning. And we pray your blessings upon each one, that we can take something home today and say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we lift you up. We give you praise, honor, and glory, and love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, again, salvation, are we saved on our own accord? I wasn't. I didn't have sense enough. And when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I didn't know how to do that. If somebody that hadn't already been there and accepted Jesus, I wouldn't have known how to do it. But thanks be to God, He keeps sending His messengers, and they keep proclaiming His gospel. They keep teaching, and you teachers of this church right here, and Brother Isaac, the pastor, and the deacons, and each individual that is saved, you are a teacher of the gospel. And we all need to be always ready to tell somebody about Jesus. Because if saved people don't tell people about Jesus, who's going to? You think about that for a minute. You have the power of God because you're a child of God. It's by His power that you're saved. You see, so you have the power of God to take His gospel. You meet somebody on the street, and you find out they're not saved. You have the power and the authority by being a member of one of the Lord's New Testament churches to give that person salvation or tell him about salvation so that he can make an informed decision about salvation, if he wants to be saved or not. We can't save people, but we need to make sure they know the plan of salvation so that they can make an informed decision about where they're going to spend eternity. It's up to them. You know, Jesus already paid the price. He paid the price for every sin that man has committed or will commit until the end of this old earth. He's already paid the price. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's saved. It means the price has been paid. And and now everybody who is willing to accept that price that was paid for their sins, they can be saved. But remember, when we're saved, the Bible tells us we're selling ourselves to God, and the cost of us to God was the blood of Jesus. That's what it cost God to send His only begotten Son, that you can have everlasting life, that I can have everlasting life. And once we sell ourselves, then you're bought for a price. You're no longer yourself. You belong to God. But the thing of it is, we should allow the power of God to work in our life. What greater power can we have than the power of God? You see. And again, in our text there, in 1 Corinthians, he said, excuse me, in verse 19, oh, excuse me again. Maybe a short sermon if I get to coughing enough, huh? Or for verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto them which are saved, it is the power of God. It's God's power that saved you. You did not think of one day, you did not come about this saying, oh, I think I'm going to be saved today. I put it off, so I'm just going to go do it. If you've never heard the gospel, and if a person's never heard the gospel, they don't know anything about Jesus. They've never said, I want to be saved, because they've never listened to the gospel. That's why, again, saved people, it's important. The reason we have so many lost people, and I'm not just putting the blame on us here, but The reason we have so many lost people in the world. Thank you, sir. I think I can go another hour now. but the reason we have so many lost people today is because saved people is not using the power that God has bestowed upon them. And that's me, that's you, that's every saved person in this world. If we proclaim the gospel as strong as the false teachers proclaim the false gospel, you'd see a lot more people saved. Because salvation is by the power of God. Now, what power is greater than the power of God? Is Satan's power greater? Satan is going to be destroyed one day in the lake of fire. He's going to spend an eternity there. And he's trying to take as many with him as he can get. And you know what? When we get to heaven, we're looking forward to meeting all of our family and friends and all, and meeting Jesus and meeting all them old prophets over there, Isaiah and Abraham and Moses and all of those. What a wonderful time that will be. When people land in the lake of fire, according to Revelation, who's going to be there to greet them? You see, that's an awful place. I think about the rich man and Lazarus. When they both died, Lazarus full of sores and everything, he went to the bosom of Abraham. That old rich man. Now, it didn't even say much about Lazarus having a funeral or anything like that. It just said he went to the bosom of Abraham. Whatever they done with the body, they done with the body. But now the rich man, he was given a big old elaborate funeral and was buried. Now, how do we know it was a big old elaborate funeral? Because he was buried. You think his brothers, they were all wealthy, you think they was going to dig a hole and just drop him in it? No. Would you do your brother that way? You see? They give him a big elaborate funeral, put him in that grave, mourned over him, like Martha and Mary did over their brother Lazarus. But the thing is, when they buried him, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The power of God no longer had any bearing on his eternity, and he was in big trouble. And he realized that, and all. And he seen Lazarus up in the bosom of Abraham, enjoying his eternity. Folks, let me tell you, the power of God is the greatest power that he ever gave mankind. Now, he said that the preaching of the cross is that's God's power. That's the power he gave us. Where did we get our knowledge and wisdom of God's word? We can read it and everything, but where do we get what we need to be able to share? Do we just think, well, I got this and just read it, never talk to God or anything? Friends, if you do that, you're going to wind up telling a lot of people some bad things. But if you want to present the Word of God the way God wants you to present it, then use the power of God. When you use God's power, and that means you have to talk to Him on a regular basis. When you talk to God, then you get something done. Because God listens, you see. And whenever He listens, He gives us what we need. You know, the Bible said, whatsoever we ask in His name, He'll give it to us. The key to that statement is in His name. We can't just say, I want this or that or something else, and say, in the name of Jesus. No, it wasn't in the name of Jesus. As too many times, we want something to consume, as James said, upon our own lust. We don't want to use the power of God. We just want God to be a Santa Claus that just gives out whatever we ask. You see, most of the time when we talk to God, you think about this in our prayers. I know I catch myself doing it. But when we talk to God, and we're to make our petitions known unto Him, because that's where the power is to get things solved. And we talk to God. Now, we know what the problem is. We know what the solution is. All we're wanting God to do is give a stamp of approval. We've got it all figured out. And if He did that, too many times we'd find ourselves flat on our face. Because I guarantee you, man can mess up things really fast. You know, but we serve a living God who never messes up anything. He's got the power to give us what we need when we need it, but we need to have a communication line with Him each and every day. And again, in verse 18, He says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness." You realize that? They don't care about the power of God. You ever talk to somebody and they just thought they were above being condemned? People say, "Well, I'm doing good." You know, we've heard it from the pulpit here and everywhere. "I'm doing good. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do something else." They may say, "I don't drink. I don't curse. I don't run around on my wife. I don't do." Well, that's all good and dandy. But what they're not saying is, I've never received Jesus as my Savior. You know, there's a lot of things you can do that'll make you a good person in the eyes of your neighbor. I had in Judsonia, Arkansas, we had a real good neighbor next door. As far as a neighbor, you couldn't ask for a better person. And all, and she had been talked to about the Lord, one of her best friends, good Christian lady, and talked to her about the Lord. She said, "I'm going to hell and I know it." She was a lesbian, and she wasn't going to change. But she was a good neighbor. We loved her to death as a neighbor, and just broke our hearts that she doesn't want to know about Jesus. But she understood that she had to repent of her sins. And that's what she wasn't willing to do. Repent means to turn away from. Be sorry for and turn away from. That's what the word means. And if we're not willing to do that, Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." You see, she didn't want the power of God for eternity. She wanted the pleasures of sin for a season. And unfortunately, if somebody can't break through that hard shell that's got her surrounded by sin, she's going to wind up in the lake of fire. And that's sad. It's sad for anybody to want to go there. But everything's foolishness to those that are lost. To those that's going to perish, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. But to them are saved, to you, it's the power of God. To you, you know that if God had not came to us with His power in the form of His Son, we would have never been saved. We would never had the opportunity to be saved. But what is the greatest power on earth? Love. That sounds good. But it's not just love. It's the love of God. Our love don't carry much weight. We love somebody for a little while. They do something to us. We hate them then. Or at least say we do. You know, we get caught up in the emotions of the moment. All the terrible killings that's been going on, and the one in California just recently. You see where the lady, the mother of one of the, her son was one of them that was killed there. He survived the Las Vegas shooting at that, but then he was killed there. And she said, And I heard this on when they was interviewing her there. She said, "I don't want anybody's prayers." She said, "Don't send me any more prayers." She'd rather have things that pertain to the flesh and things that the law can do rather than the things that God can do. The law of the land can do rather than the things that God can do. She didn't want God's power. Now, when you think about this, that was a nightclub. He had already survived a concert in Las Vegas, and it wasn't a nightclub. But if and I hate, you know, my prayers were with all the families, and whether she wants it or not, she's got my prayers, because we got to listen to God and the power that God has, and not her. She doesn't control my prayer life. She doesn't control anything about my Christian life. And the Bible tells us to pray. Now, but what would have happened if he had never showed up at that club? He'd have been alive today, wouldn't he? You see, we bring a lot of things. That's the man's wisdom. And we bring a lot of problems on ourselves. God never brings problems on ourselves, on us. But we bring a lot of them on ourselves. Matter of fact, anytime we do it without God, we're looking for trouble. Now, notice what he says there. Now, a man's wisdom in verse 19 again. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring it to nothing, the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? How many wise people you know today that you consider wise beyond their means? You know anybody? I've met people in my life I thought, well, I consider anybody smarter than me wise. And you know what? That's just about everybody. You know. And I say that because we all have some wisdom about something that's interesting to somebody else that don't know. And when we talk to them about something, if they know more than we do, then we think, wow, that person's sharp. You know. But the human wisdom, where is it, he said? Where is human wisdom today? Human wisdom defies the power of God. Human wisdom defies the salvation of God. And so Paul's saying, you know, God don't use the wise of this world. He can't. He used smart people, but not wise people of this world. And because he goes on and says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? You know, I think about it. Where is the scribe? Where's all the Pharisees at today? They thought they were pretty smart, pretty wise. They thought they were smarter than Jesus. So where's the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Gnostics? Where are all those at? Where's Jesus? So who turned out to be the wise one there? They rejected Jesus and they perished. Those who accepted, you know, Paul, he was told, he said, "Paul, you're mad." But where's Paul at today? We're still reading the works of Paul, thank God. And we're using the words of Paul in our daily walk to guide us in the power of God. Paul knew where all of this was at. You know, so the power, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It's the power to be saved. You know, in Romans 1:16, Paul tells us that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God. You know, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because that's God's power. And he goes, and then in 1 Corinthians, go over just one chapter there, and to chapter 2, and look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It is the wisdom to be saved. He said there in verse 9, but it is written, I had not hear, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of any man the things which God hath prepared them that love him. We don't have a clue. Now, I say we don't have a clue. Notice what this verse says. Now, I look at it a little different than some people. Again, he says, it is written, I hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, the key to that is for them that love him. Now, who does God love? When we think about the love of God, who does he love? I think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world. While we were yet, and then, and I think about Romans where he says, for while we were yet sinners, God commended his love toward us. So God loves everybody. Not everybody loves God back. But now here, he's saying, I hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of any man. If we don't know the Lord, we don't even have a clue what's going on. If we're not saved, truly saved by the grace of God, we don't have a clue what God's done. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now we're changing now to those that love him. Now notice in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What we didn't know, God has revealed to them that love him. So where we couldn't know it, God revealed it to us, because we can't know it by ourselves. Now, what the man knows, or humans, you know, when I say man, I'm talking about all human life, not just male people. What man knows is from the spirit of man. You know, there's things each of us know that other people may not know. There's things of things that we know that can help or hurt other people. Those things, they're just flesh level. Flesh level. They go no further than the flesh. If a man dies today, the things that he knows goes right in that grave with him. He can't just before he dies, or she can't think before she dies. She can't just pull all that knowledge and wisdom out and slap it on somebody else, can you? It dies right there. You see. Now, he goes on to say in verse 11, he says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And that's how come God can reveal them to us, because when we're saved, what happens? God takes up residence. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God teaches us what we need to know. And he's a great teacher. And if we'll use him, you will be absolutely amazed at what you can know about God's Word, about God himself. You would be amazed at what you can tell other people about God. But you have to seek God's wisdom through the Spirit of God that dwells in you. He's and all. And and let me tell you, it was. I may have told you this last time, but it was not in my plans to be a preacher. That was the last thing I thought of. When I was growing up, I hardly wouldn't even talk. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. A classmate of mine came out when I was pastoring there in Judsonia, and his name's James Jackson. And he come out and listened to me preach one Sunday. Then he kept coming back, but he came out one Sunday. He said, after service, he said, Joe, I've heard you say, and we went all 12 years of school together. He said, I heard you say more words in that one sermon than I heard you say all 12 years of school. And so I was very nervous to stand in front of people. It just wasn't in my plans. And I'd run from the Lord for a long time. I understand Moses' concerns about his lack of speech and all, because I was there. But God seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. He sees something in you that you don't see. But you've got to be a willing vessel of the Lord. Whether it's just having prayer, and many of you probably already do that, having prayer and devotional with your family, your children, all these young people that's coming forth and accepting Jesus as their Savior, isn't that wonderful? Oh, and I want to see more. Because I want the young people that just recently give your life to the Lord. It's a beginning, it's not an end. You've got to continue in the Lord. You've got to keep reading your Bible. You've got to keep listening to the preacher. You've got to keep listening to the Sunday school teacher and listening to anybody that is presenting you the truth. Because you're growing now. You're growing spiritually, which you could never do until you give your life to Jesus. And you've got to keep it going. Because one day, when you look around this congregation, I see a lot of folks that my age or maybe a couple years older, and some not far behind me. What's this church going to look like 20 years from now? If the Lord tarries his coming, what's this church going to look like 40 years from now? That will be determined by how well the adults teach the children today and how well the children are willing to learn today. Hopefully, they'll have a nice, big, larger building somewhere and it's plumb full of God's children, and that they're still reaching out to Muldrow with their vans and all, reaching out to the children. And hopefully one day, what I pray for as much as anything, that one day that van pulls up to the to pick up these children and we see a mom and or a dad coming out and say, can I go too? You know, that's what it's all about, is reaching out. So you children that's accepted Jesus, you may very well become the disciple that's going to lead your own parents to Christ. Because you, even though you're a young child, and as you learn, you have the power of God working within you. And by using that power, you may very well, you know, your parents, I don't know any of your parents, and they may not be interested right now. But don't give up. God, you know, God didn't give up on me. He took a 2x4 and slapped me upside the head with it, but he didn't give up on me. And one day I realized that what I was saying all along was true. I kept telling God, I can't do this. And I was right, I couldn't. But what God finally got through, and like I said, I'm pretty hard-headed. What God finally got through to me, and maybe some of you can feel the same way, is he wasn't telling me he wanted me to do it. What he was telling me is he wanted me to be a vessel so he could do it. It's His work. It's not mine. If I bring you the truth of God's Word, it's God. It's not me. I've told several congregations over the years, I said, if I get up here and you say, yeah, it's God's Word, give Him the credit. I get up here and mess it up and just tear it all to pieces and you don't believe a thing I say, blame me. God, don't do that. It's God's work. And as long as we understand that and we're talking to God and we're using God and or we're allowing God to use us as a vessel, remember what Paul said? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, and also we have to use Him. So that tells us then that the power of God is not man's wisdom, is it? In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, look at verse 4. He says, and my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, I think about that. I love listening to Brother Isaac. He can bring a message, can't he? And I love to listen to him. But he don't hold back, does he? Whatever the Lord has laid on his heart, whatever he thinks you need to hear, you're going to hear it. And we need to hear it. You know, we need people that will stand bold in the pulpit and tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. We got way too many churches that is telling us what we want to hear. And those churches are flourishing and growing, calling them mega churches. But what are they doing? How many people want to hear about hell and the lake of fire? And if we don't repent, we're going there. How many people want to hear that? Evidently not very many. Because there's a lot of organizations out there that's leaving that plumb out of their message. Notice I said organizations. The Lord's church will stand up here and tell you, friends, you need to be saved. If you're lost this morning, you need to be saved. And because if you're not saved and you leave this old world in that state, there is no more opportunities. The Bible tells us now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. There's no other time. As Brother Steve said, you can't be saved tomorrow. Tomorrow never gets here. You know, I heard a story about a man down in Texas. I know y'all like Texas, and also, but a man down in Texas, and old Baptist preacher down there. They do have Baptist preachers down there, by the way, and this Baptist preacher was out visiting, and he went to this man's house. This man was kind of wealthy, but he was lost. And he told the man, and you know, he went in and witnessed with him. Well, the man said, yeah, you're right, preacher. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll be at church on Sunday, and I'll come up there and I'll give my life to the Lord. Preacher said, well, that sounds great. And he got up and started to leave. He thought, something don't sound right here. So he goes back over to him. He said, now, brother, Sunday is still ways away. What's wrong with right now? And he told him, he said, preacher, if you know anything about me, you know I'm a man of my word. If I tell you I'm going to be there Sunday, I'm going to be there Sunday. And if I tell you I'm going to come down there and I'm going to give my life to the Lord, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Well, can't argue with that. So the preacher gets up and he gets over to the door. But something just telling him, no, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. So he goes back, and he told him, he said, let me tell you something. He said, you've listened to Satan for a long time to tell you that next Sunday will be all right. You've listened to Satan, put it off and put it off. And he said, when are you going to quit listening to Satan and start listening to God? He said, if you're going to be saved Sunday, what's keeping you from being saved right now? Let's get down on our knees right now, and you give your life to the Lord. He said, well, preacher, I guess you're right. So he got down, and he gave his life to the Lord right there in his home. And was saved. And all. And so, and then he told the preacher, he said, I'll be there Sunday. I'll come down. I'll make myself a candidate for baptism and then full fellowship with the church. And he said, great. Be looking forward to it. Well, boy, the preacher was excited. Isn't it exciting to see somebody give their life to the Lord? I mean, folks, you'll never, ever experience something more gratifying than leading a lost soul to Jesus Christ. And anyway, at Sunday morning, that preacher standing out there smiling from ear to ear and waiting on this gentleman to come and all. And so he waited around there and looking at his watch, and he was saying, oh, he should be here. You know, but it's getting time now for church to start, and he's still not there. Finally, this little boy ran up to him and said, preacher, he said, my uncle sent me to tell you he's sure sorry that he couldn't be here this morning. He said, you see, yesterday he had a stroke, and he's in the hospital. You know, he said he certainly apologizes for not being here. Now, to make this story to the point is, the man never come out of the hospital. What would have happened if the preacher had quit listening to the power of God that was beckoning him back to that person? You know, if you really know you need to be saved, then what's keeping you? If you really know you need to be baptized, what's keeping you? I tell you what's keeping you. Satan. You're listening to him. You're not listening to God. Jesus said, or Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we have to give our whole heart. And remember, the power of God, the power of God can only work if we are completely submitted to him. We can't be a halfway Christian. You ever seen a halfway Christian? If you've seen a halfway Christian, you've seen somebody that is totally lost. You see, there's no such thing. And that's about as foolish as going down to the car lot and saying, I want to buy half a car today. What are you going to do with a half car? And said, I'd like to have the whole car, but I don't really need a whole car. I just need to maybe one with a steering wheel and the driver's side there. The rest of it I'll get later. And I'll get it as I need it. Maybe I'll come by and get it once or twice a week or something like that. Folks, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. The power of God will not work in a part-time Christian. The power of God will not work in a salvation that is not sincere, that is not 100% given to the Father through the Son. It just won't work. Too many people have tried it. The Pharisees tried it. They tried to be a good religious bunch of folks. And God said, or Jesus told them, said, you're father of the devil. And it's his deeds you'll do, not mine. So we've got to give our whole heart. Paul again in Romans chapter 10, he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the whole heart. He didn't say, you can just take a little part of that heart and believe and the rest of it will be okay. He said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We've got to believe with our heart and confess that Jesus is Lord of our life. Complete Lord. He's not a part-time God. He's a full-time Savior. He'll guide our hearts and minds. We pray, we study. He'll guide us in ways we've never known. And that's what we need from each of us as we go through this life. He gives His power to those that wait upon it. This same God will receive every child of God here. He's going to receive us one day. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, some songs I just don't like. I may have told you this too. I tell it pretty often. But some songs, they call them gospel songs. They're not gospel songs. And one of them is, you ever heard the song, Lord, Build Me a Cabin in the Corner of Glory Land? You ever heard that in anybody? Okay. How many of you really want a cabin over in the corner of Glory Land? How many really want it there? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, you know where I want to be? Right where Jesus is preparing my mansion. I want to be right there next door to Him. And He will receive me one day because I gave my life to Him while I was in this life. Now, I've not done everything as well as I should have. I know that. Neither have you. But you know what? We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that is forgiving. We serve a God that wants you in His kingdom. And He's willing to do, He's willing to do whatever it took. And that, what it took was to send His only begotten Son. He wants you in His kingdom. He'll work with us. He knows we're in a fleshly body. He knows that we're going to sin. He knows even when and what sin we're going to commit. It doesn't make it right. It just makes it a fact. Sin is never right for the saved or the lost, either one. But we will sin. Now, this is the same God that will also judge us one day. Yeah, you and me, we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged for the things that we've done in this body as a child of God. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It gives it a pretty good explanation there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he talks about our works being tried as by fire. If they stand the test of fire, we'll receive a reward. But it says, if they're burned up, yet yourself shall be saved. You know, a lot of us are going to go through that cane. We're going to smell a lot like smoke getting there. I may very well be one of them. Not that I'm intentionally trying to do that. But I know my weakness in this old sinful body. And I'm just thankful we serve a living God that doesn't give up on us and say, you shouldn't have sinned that one. That sin cost you. That cost you everlasting life. No. You know, people that say, when you sin, you lose your salvation. You know what that tells me? If that's true, then we got to be careful that we plan our life so that we die between sins. Now, how many of us can do that? Ooh, that's even scary to think about in my life. I've had people tell me, if you quit going to church, so if I don't go to church next Sunday, I'm lost. Well, no. Well, how many times I got to miss? I want to kind of get this down so I know if I miss church, I'm still okay. But how many times I got to miss before I'm lost? You see, we serve an awesome God who saves to the uttermost. And there in chapter 10 of John that we're studying this morning, and I've used these verses before, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." I'm fixing to close out here. I know it's already noon. So my one page of notes has got another sermon in it. But my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Now let me ask you something. If I'm following the Lord, if I know the Lord's my Savior, I'm following Him, and I'm following His path, and because I know the Lord, I'm His sheep, and I'm following Him, how can I follow anything else? If I'm walking toward that door, how can I get to that one or that one? You see, again, He says, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." I don't follow Satan. I don't follow false teachers. He said, "They follow me." Now, I'll say this, and rest of that little part there, again, He says, "And no man can take you out of my hand. And my Father, which is greater than I, and there's none that can you take you out of His hand." I'd like to ask the song leader and pianist to come around, prepare for a song of invitation. Folks, we can't leave here without you having the opportunity. If you're lost this morning, you have the opportunity now to accept, and I hate to use this negatively, but I want you to know the importance of the decision you're making this morning. You have the opportunity to accept or reject Jesus this morning. I want you to accept Him. It's your choice. I can't make you. Nobody here in this church can make you. But if you don't know who Jesus is, you need to. If He's not your Savior this morning, get to know Him. I'll get that Bible. We'll get down here. I'll go through the pages there and show you what it takes to be saved and become a child of God. But the decision is yours. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with Jesus today while we stand and while we sing? And I promise I won't give you a cold. Yeah.